minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. And I thought we were going to be previewing the UNC Northern Arizona game coming up this Saturday with Bodie Hume, but instead we're talking about postponements, reschedules, and all that. Bodie Hume, everybody in studio, thanks in part to First Advantage and Cables hooking us up, man. Bodie, my friend, how are you?
Oh, wow.
Susan and Cheryl just love that, man. Yeah. I know you're a big Friends guy, so you're into the live studio audience. That's what we have
there
here. It's
go.
Pretty special.
Perfect.
How are you, man?
Doing good. A little upset about the postponement, but you know, now we got some extra practice and some extra time to really get back to what we know how to do, and that's try to win games.
Well, so you were supposed to have the Portland State game on Monday, right? And then Northern Arizona Saturday. So, and I know we'll get into the Sac State game, too. That loss, your first Big Sky loss of the season. But that was tough because, you know, on the other hand, if the schedule would have just fell through, you would have played right off the bat and get back at it. And I know after a tough loss, sometimes that's the best cure, but... And maybe in some cases, sitting back, analyzing everything, this could be a plus for you guys.
No, absolutely. I think either way it would have been fine. And I think playing Monday or not playing Monday would have been good for us. Now since we have about 9 days off, we get to just dial down on some things that we really struggled with against Sac State and really just kind of like honestly just get better with what we did so badly.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. I want to get into, you know, scheduling and the big picture as far as COVID and the NCAA and everything with you too, Bodie. But let's go back to Sac State. I mean, obviously, emotions were high from the week before. You guys go in and beat Southern Utah. That was an amazing performance. I think Tanner of NoCo Now asked Coach Smiley if that was one of the biggest wins in UNC history. And I don't know about that, but maybe for Coach Smiley, I mean, that was a pretty darn big win there.
For sure.
Especially breaking a streak like that is pretty phenomenal. So you're riding high off of that one. So talk to us. Take us through it. A rough game against Sac State. You guys never really seemed to get a hold in that one from the tip to finish.
Yeah, I think, like you said, we had a big win against Southern Utah. And I think that got to us a little bit. I think all of us just didn't come out ready to play completely, and it showed. I think Sac State did a really good job of taking away our three-point shot after what we did with Southern Utah. And ultimately, we did some things against Southern Utah that Sac State did to us, and I guess the best way to put it is we got punked in a way. That's not something you can have happen.
Well, and Bodie, we say this all the time in sports. Good teams like you guys, sometimes we say, hey, maybe a Big Sky loss at this stage in early January, maybe it's not the worst thing. I was listening to Coach Smiley on another interview talk about, hey, we need to be able to we're riding high right now. We're winning big games. Maybe we're going to need to get a punch to the teeth a couple of times. And that was kind of the case. So do you look at it from that side and say, man, this is good for us. We're going to take this loss. It doesn't mean the season's over. We got a lot of season in front of us. You're still in the top of the standings in the Big Sky.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important part is for us, like we want to be winning a lot of games going into the tournament so that we can just carry that energy up. And honestly, you don't want to have losses at the end of your season where then it decides where you're ranked. Like, who cares where we're ranked now? We're just focusing on winning games. So like for us, we're okay with a loss here, and especially getting punched in the throat, I guess you could say, just really demolished on Saturday. But for us, looking forward to finally playing again and having this break is just going to make us want to play more and more and more, just to prove that we're here and we're not messing around.
How difficult, you know, and maybe we can go into detail, but difficult is it to make those adjustments? Because, you know, when teams are studying your film, head coaches stand up, look at their players and say, if we can take the three ball away, we have a shot to beat UNC. So they have a lot of shooters, so that's tough to do. But if they can formulate that kind of game plan, maybe they can take you out of what you want to do. Then you guys, on the other hand, say, okay, word's out, man. I mean, we're a shooting team. Everybody knows that we almost beat the CSU Rams by doing what we do best. Yep. So how do you then readjust to that? What's that look like in practice?
Lots of things. I think we work on a lot of team passing now. In that Sac State game, we got very selfish. The ball got really sticky, me included. And for us to just have a practice yesterday, we passed the ball really well. Extra passes, open shots. It's really fun to watch our practice yesterday and just know that we can still shoot the three. It's just a matter of getting one more pass to get the guy open to shoot the three and stuff like that. And then obviously we have Cor Jakuch, who's huge for us in the paint, and we can go down to him on the block anytime he wants, and he scores pretty much every time. I mean, he's like 80% from the field this year, so that's unmatched.
Those low percentage or high percentage shots, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's going to work. And he's a double-double machine, too.
Yep.
I mean, he is, as we've talked about, he's running those boards. I think you told us, you know, what you had told him last year is, hey, man, you're at that level now. We're expecting great things. And I think it's safe to say he's delivered so far this
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those games, 85-71, as you said, Sac State finds a way to neutralize you guys, take you guys out of what you want to do. But also, we're seeing this. I mean, that same day, Saturday, we see Colorado State lose by 30 to one of their rivals. You see this in college sports, too. I know Angel's back there still crying about the Alabama game. I'm sorry, but your basketball team's really good. And then they've had a couple of fall-offs, too. So isn't this kind of normal for college basketball?
Absolutely.
You're going to get those games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a matter of, like, no team's going to go undefeated. Everyone's going to have an off night or someone's just going to play better than you, and that's just how basketball works. For us, Sac State just played better than us. I wouldn't say we necessarily had an off night, but they just played with a lot more grit and a lot more guts last Saturday, and that's what we need to bring to the table because we're supposed to be a tough opponent.
Well, and you guys are, and I think the follow-up games are always interesting to me. Like tonight, for example, you see CSU's playing Utah State in Fort Collins. I'm very eager to see how they follow up after losing to San Diego State. I look at you guys, and obviously I was looking forward to that Northern Arizona game, but then we're going to fast forward to the 20th, and you guys will go on the road to Idaho. That's that next game, and, you know, to me, it's not about necessarily a loss. It's how you follow up that loss.
Absolutely, and I think we got a good card pulled for this Idaho game. They're a good team this year, and they've been in a lot of close games this year for us. So looking forward to going down there and playing them and hopefully coming back with a W.
So looking at the Northern Arizona game, Bodie, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the state of college basketball. But we know the Northern Arizona game has been rescheduled for February 7th is what we're looking at. So down the road, I'm hearing from a lot of our insiders and people we talk to that, hey, get through January, get through that first part of February. And then at that point, maybe, knocking on wood here, we get into some smooth sailing, that we get through this process where we're not postponing as much, because bottom line is everybody's getting it, and then they won't have to get it again in the next 3 months.
Yep. No, I think that's kind of the mindset that it seems, and I think everyone has different rules for each school and placement of quarantine and return to play and stuff like that. I know ours are pretty strict, so that's good for us. The positive thing for us is you, if you get a booster shot, you get to work your way around quarantine and stuff like that. You don't have to test as much, so it's been nice for us. And honestly, yeah, I completely agree. If you can get it in January, if we have an outbreak, I'm hoping it's in January, early February, like you said, not necessarily late February, March, because that's just when it's just going to fall apart.
Yeah, when you get close to conference tournament time, you really want to be able. You're obviously feeling good, but you're not in any situation where you have to sit out or anything, where a team has to postpone and move around things, because then suddenly things get pretty tricky.
Yep, exactly, and you run out of dates to move around things, so you just have to end up taking losses, and
yeah,
it's just not a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on that. Obviously, it's not fun for anybody, but you guys, I hate to say it, but you're now accustomed to it, right? You're used to seeing. I saw the story from UNC. The press release was that yesterday, and I was like, it doesn't shock me anymore. It's not like it's breaking news, but it's not the biggest news in the world anymore.
Yep,
we're kind
absolutely.
Of used to it.
Yep, for sure.
Bodie, I've always wanted to pick your brain about this. The Big Sky Conference. I was talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, yesterday. Or was that Monday? I'm losing track of the days. And we were talking about the conference and how, you know, it's a great season. And just like you said, it doesn't matter where your standings are necessarily. It's about seeding and everything. But is it frustrating for you to know you guys could, theoretically, you could go undefeated, right? You could win every single game and then get to the tournament. And then it's an off night. Perhaps you lose. We've seen that with Bears teams that are so good, and I'm buying in. I'm like, this is the best team in the conference. An off night, perhaps like against Sac State, it could end your season. Is that frustrating to know that, hey, you guys could have the best season in the world, but man, it could end just like that if you don't bring it your best in the tournament?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the tournament's like a gauntlet, man. It's three straight days, three straight games, and that's if you get a bye. So for us, we just look forward to like playing those games. And seeding is a big part of it. If you get that 1-5, you get that bye, you only have to play 3 games instead of 4. It's huge for us, and that's what we're kind of going for. But, yeah, I mean, if you go back and look at my freshman year, we were playing really well all year. We were running through the conference. We lost our last regular season game to be conference champions. Lost that, so we got second. And we went in as the 2 seed and just Southern Utah. We actually played Southern Utah first round. They played Portland State the night before and just shot the lights out of the ball. And came and played us the next day, and that same thing happened, and we just didn't have an answer for it. So, I mean, it's crazy how much of a difference the energy, the good energy takes or brings to the table when you're going into the tournament.
I mean, tournaments like that, conferences like the Big Sky, they're like mini March Madness tournaments. There's a lot of venom and excitement, and that one game means everything, but do you feel that that takes away from the regular season a little bit? Like, you have accomplishments and all that, and maybe even win the regular season title. But if Southern Utah or Sac State or somebody just goes nuts from the three-point line, it ends everything. Does it take anything away from what you've accomplished in the regular season?
Yes and no. I think everyone's goal, especially our goal this year, is to win a regular season championship, because just finishing first in the league is a huge thing.
That's a huge thing.
But not only that, but you also want to piece it together with a Big Sky championship.
Right.
You want to win that tournament championship as well. So, like, honestly, it's not as fun when it's one and not the other. You want to win both, so you kind of go for both.
And that is the venom side of it. If you're winning a regular season title, I mean, yeah, that's amazing. And even though you want both, that's still something to hang your hat on. If you somehow don't get past that tournament, you still at least can say, hey, we were regular season champs. But I've always we always talk about college sports, and I love the idea of college football playoffs. Like, eventually there's a representative from every conference. And I know we'd have some lopsided scores for a while, but I think it would spread out. I always look at the Big Sky. I'm like, man, why not reward the regular season champ? And why not find every conference regular season champ getting some kind of punch ticket? I've always wondered that.
No, for sure. It would be a lot of fun for the Big Sky to get a big bid every once in a while. But, you know, it happens, and we know that's a part of it. So we just got to focus on winning games.
I mean, if you win them all from this point on, Bodhi, then we don't have to have this discussion.
Exactly.
Man, I know it was one of those rough games. And I know you take that personally against the Sac State game, and you look at that, and you guys are looking at that, because I know your goals are huge. I know that that's the ultimate goal, is to shock everybody in the Big Sky, win the regular season title, go through, win that tournament. I know those are the goals for you guys.
Yep, no, for sure. And I think for me personally, going back and looking at that Saturday game, there are so many things that I could have done differently to help us win. And you look back, and that's what I love about this team, is you can ask all the guys that played what they could have done better, and they'll give you a good set list of things that they could have done better. So that's what I love about this team, is it's not, we're not playing the blame game with these guys. We know that we lost as a team, and individually we did things that we should have done better. And that's what I love about these guys, is they just really take it to heart when we take an L and really focus on the next win.
It's a heck of a group, and like I said, I'm looking at that score, I'm looking at the situation, and I don't see something like that happening on a regular basis. And I'm just excited to see you guys get at it against Idaho. Now, are you kind of looking for another game in the in-between right now, or is it probably just going to end up waiting it out until you get to play Idaho?
I don't know. I don't know what the coaches are up to. They're probably looking for another game just to fill. Maybe since they got postponed, we're just going to hold it out. I bet we got practice on Saturday now instead of a game, maybe a little inter-squad scrimmage or something, but definitely going to have something take place of that, and maybe it's just a practice, but it's going to be something.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eyes out for sure, and either way, man, we're excited for the season to continue. You guys are sitting at 500 right now, or 10-5 overall, excuse me, 3-1, or 3-1 in the conference, 8-8 at this point in time behind Southern Utah, Weber State. So, hey, you know you could beat Southern Utah, so you look at the standings, and it's anybody's conference, at least in those top five spots.
Absolutely.
So it should be a lot of fun, man. All right, Bodhi, good luck to you guys. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll be looking for updates to see if any kind of game comes up in the next 5 days or so.
Got you. Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right, my man. First Advantage, Cables, these guys are great sponsors. They work with us, and Cables, man, I know we're going to get over there sometime, right?
Yes.
We're gonna do like a spaghetti marathon or something like that.
There you go.
That.
Yep, absolutely. All you can eat spaghetti for sure.
Is that the go? What's your go-to? to again?
I like the mac and cheese with the chicken in it a little more, but the spaghetti's really good too.
Yeah, I've never had a bad meal there.
Yep,
so,
yep.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll see. We'll either be talking about maybe there was a rescheduled game for the weekend, or we'll just set our sights on Idaho. We'll see how
absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You know, obviously the turnovers in the second half, I believe it was 10 turnovers, 16 points, and probably even more important, Vic, than the turnovers is just we have a really good player that we can't get the ball to. We had a lot of guys that looked a little nervous out there as they turned up their pressure. Anytime you lose a game where you led by 25 points in the second half is unacceptable. It starts with me. Put this on me. Obviously we didn't shoot the ball well, 4 of 33 from the 3-point line. But if you can't get Nikola Jokic to basketball, that's a big, big problem.
There's Michael Malone, head coach for the Denver Nuggets, talking about last night's loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers came back from 25-point deficit to win that game. Yeah, yeah, not good. Susan and Cheryl smoking cigarettes do not like that. Their voice is a little deeper, that's why. This is what I pointed this out. Who did they play? OKC on, was that Friday or Saturday? I was tweeting about this. I was like, dude, they can't get the ball to Joker. And that if I'm any team playing the Nuggets now, I'm going back and I'm watching last night's tape and that last 2 minutes, especially with the Clippers or the OKC game. They are fronting him. They are they're wedging him. You know, you're getting two guys essentially on Nikola Jokic duty. I mean, they are down low, trying to keep him from getting the basketball. And the guards on this team, the passers on this team, are not finding creative enough ways to get him the ball. You got to have crisp passes, fast passes. But then on the other end, you got two guys on Joker. Somebody's open. But when I was in high school basketball, when I played basketball, coach always said, dude, if somebody's doubled, no brainer, somebody's open. Your job is to find that player. Joker ended up with 21 points, 8 assists, 13 boards. I mean, Aaron Gordon had a monster game. This was his best game of the season. 30 points, 12 rebounds. He had a couple of turnovers, but overall, very efficient. Efficient from the free throw line, and he'd been struggling from the free throw line. So he was 7 for 7. But there's Malone talking about it, and they did look timid. There was a key stretch in 2 minutes there where Denver was up, was it 81-80 or something like that, and in that two-minute sequence, you couldn't make any stops. But then on the offensive side of the ball, as soon as you saw that double team, I mean, you saw Reggie Jackson just instantly go down. He put his hip inside and right on Joker. You have Zubac or whoever it was, the back guy, is making sure he doesn't get the ball over the top. So you have Jackson making sure, hey, you're not going to feed it to him. You're not going to give him a bounce pass in the paint here. But then if you do, we've got a big guy ready to go. Somehow you squeeze it in there. So they are bracketing Nikola Jokic. It's a lot like in football when you see a stud receiver or a monster tight end get bracketed down the field. So now this is where the Nuggets have to get creative. And Malone didn't call timeout in the last 2 minutes, and he was asked about that. And he said, hey, we weren't executing. We weren't executing, so there was nothing about that last 2 minutes where I thought, if we call a timeout, can we even get the ball in bounds? That's a problem. That's a problem to say that, too. That you're not even going to take a timeout and stop the bleeding? That's the age-old basketball trick, right? Is you got to stop the bleeding. Malone doesn't believe in his team enough, and at least in last night's situation, to call a timeout and try to somehow stop the bleeding. It might be time to press the panic button, Angel.
It's getting close, and they mentioned it on the broadcast, and you've seen it as a Nuggets fan. When Jokic is not on the floor, this team struggles.
And now when he's on the floor, they're struggling.
And that's the mentality this team has started forming is, oh, if Jokic is off the floor, we know what we are. When he's on the floor, we have to put the ball through him, and other teams are picking up on that.
And that's the scary part about that is if I'm any team, knowing how bad the Nuggets are when Joker's off the floor, I have to neutralize Nikola Jokic. I've said this all season, and we are almost, 39 games in. Until there is a consistent Robin on this team, a secondary scorer, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, Gordon was great last night. He had 30. But you had Joker with his 21, but nobody else. And I know Will Barton was out, but Barton's not been that consistent scorer either. Somebody has to be that guy. I was really hoping it would be Monte Morris or Aaron Gordon. Those are the guys you got to lean on. Smitty texting in, at what point did the Nuggets fans simply admit a couple of things? Jokic is all alone. The rest of the roster are just a bunch of guys. Malone is not a difference maker as a head coach. To be fair, not many NBA coaches make a difference. Is this a failure on Michael Malone's part? A guy that has been so good for this team, but we've seen this in the NBA. I have compared the Nuggets to Golden State for several years because I feel like Golden State, they were coming up, they were homegrown, they were drafting and building all these guys, and it was Mark Jackson, the head coach. Well, ownership looked at it, and management looked at it and felt like Mark Jackson wasn't the guy. He was good for the buildup. Can he be the guy to get them over that hump? And now the Nuggets have to really look at this, and that life without Michael Malone would be weird because he's just been a fixture with Tim Conley, with Nikola Jokic, with Jamal Murray. But you have to take a long, hard look here. 2 minutes left in the game, 81-80. Clippers come down, score three. It's 83-81. And then I think they came down and got another quick two. You couldn't get the ball in to Joker. Why are you not calling a timeout? And at least, a head coach has to be able to create a play on the fly. How do you get the ball to Joker? How do you find an open three? And then again, you're 4-for-33 from the three-point line. You are not going to win any games doing that. So who will deliver? You had Jeff Green with 12, Monte Morris with 11, and again, Gordon with 30. But other than that, that's it. And this isn't college. You need a lot more guys to contribute. If you're only going to have a couple of guys in double digits, three or four guys in double digits, you can't have the other guys at two and four. You just can't. And again, Gordon was the Robin last night, but Joker was so neutralized that it didn't matter. Your Batman was, I was going to say he was getting the kryptonite treatment, but that's Superman, Angel. We got to study up on our superheroes here.
He was just in the Batcave.
He was
watching it at home.
He didn't have his mask, so he couldn't go outside.
Alfred, come on.
Yeah, so he's like, I can't go out and fight crime. I don't have my mask. But, dude, there's a person about to be murdered. I don't have my mask.
What I'll say about Malone, it's that, we'll throw the excuses. Yeah, he doesn't have Murray. He doesn't have Michael Porter Jr. right now. But you want to say, you have to get the excuses out of the way and say, what kind of coach are you when you lose two of your
exactly.
top three guys?
Exactly. The Clippers are 21-21. They're without, to be fair, at least the Nuggets have one of their stars. The Clippers don't have any of their stars. Their two studs are out, and they're 500. The Nuggets have their stud, and you're not figuring out how to get the ball. And Malone's right. If you can't get the ball to Nikola Jokic, it's a big, big problem. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's talk some Colorado Buffaloes next with our guy, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, Mark Johnson. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Obviously the turnovers in the second half, I believe it was 10 turnovers, 16 points, and probably even more important, Vic, than the turnovers is just we have a really good player that we can't get the ball to. We had a lot of guys that looked a little nervous out there as they turned up their pressure. Anytime you lose a game where you led by 25 points in the second half is unacceptable. It starts with me. Put this on me. Obviously, we didn't shoot the ball well, 4-for-33 from the three-point line. But if you can't get Nikola Jokic to basketball, that's a big, big problem.
There's Michael Malone, head coach for the Denver Nuggets, talking about last night's loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers came back from 25-point deficit to win that game. Yeah, yeah, not good. Susan and Cheryl smoking cigarettes do not like that. Their voice is a little deeper, that's why. This is what I pointed this out. Who did they play? OKC on, was that Friday or Saturday? I was tweeting about this. I was like, dude, they can't get the ball to Joker. And that if I'm any team playing the Nuggets now, I'm going back and I'm watching last night's tape and that last 2 minutes, especially with the Clippers or the OKC game. They are fronting him. They are they're wedging him. You know, you're getting two guys essentially on Nikola Jokic duty. I mean, they are down low trying to keep him from getting the basketball. And the guards on this team, the passers on this team, are not finding creative enough ways to get him the ball. You got to have crisp passes, fast passes. But then on the other end, you got two guys on Joker. Somebody's open. But when I was in high school basketball, when I played basketball, coach always said, dude, if somebody's doubled, no brainer, somebody's open. Your job is to find that player. Joker ended up with 21 points, 8 assists, 13 boards. I mean, Aaron Gordon had a monster game. This was his best game of the season. 30 points, 12 rebounds. He had a couple of turnovers, but overall, very efficient. Efficient from the free throw line, and he'd been struggling from the free throw line. So he was 7-for-7. But there's Malone talking about it, and they did look timid. There was a key stretch in 2 minutes there where Denver was up, was it 81-80 or something like that, and in that two-minute sequence, you couldn't make any stops. But then on the offensive side of the ball, as soon as you saw that double team, I mean, you saw Reggie Jackson just instantly go down. He put his hip inside and right on Joker. You have Zubac or whoever it was, the back guy, is making sure he doesn't get the ball over the top. So you have Jackson making sure, hey, you're not going to feed it to him. You're not going to give him a bounce pass in the paint here. But then if you do, we've got a big guy ready to go. Somehow you squeeze it in there. So they are bracketing Nikola Jokic. It's a lot like in football when you see a stud receiver or a monster tight end get bracketed down the field. So now this is where the Nuggets have to get creative. And Malone didn't call timeout in the last 2 minutes, and he was asked about that. And he said, hey, we weren't executing. We weren't executing, so there was nothing about that last 2 minutes where I thought, if we call a timeout, can we even get the ball in bounds? That's a problem. That's a problem to say that, too. That you're not even going to take a timeout and stop the bleeding? That's the age-old basketball trick, right? Is you got to stop the bleeding. Malone doesn't believe in his team enough, and at least in last night's situation, to call a timeout and try to somehow stop the bleeding. It might be time to press the panic button, Angel.
It's getting close, and they mentioned it on the broadcast, and you've seen it as a Nuggets fan. When Jokic is not on the floor, this team struggles.
And now when he's on the floor, they're struggling.
And that's the mentality this team has started forming is, oh, if Jokic is off the floor, we know what we are. When he's on the floor, we have to put the ball through him, and other teams are picking up on that.
And that's the scary part about that is if I'm any team, knowing how bad the Nuggets are when Joker's off the floor, I have to neutralize Nikola Jokic. I've said this all season, and we are almost, 39 games in. Until there is a consistent Robin on this team, a secondary scorer, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, Gordon was great last night. He had 30. Again, you had Joker with his 21, but nobody else. And I know Will Barton was out, but Barton's not been that consistent scorer either. Somebody has to be that guy. I was really hoping it would be Monte Morris or Aaron Gordon. That's the guys; those are the guys you got to lean on. Smitty texting in. At what point do the Nuggets fans simply admit a couple of things? Jokic is all alone. The rest of the roster are just a bunch of guys. Malone is not a difference maker as a head coach. To be fair, not many NBA coaches make a difference. Is this a failure on Michael Malone's part? A guy that has been so good for this team, but we've seen this in the NBA. I have compared the Nuggets to Golden State for several years, because I feel like Golden State, they were coming up, they were homegrown, they were drafting and building all these guys, and it was Mark Jackson, the head coach. Well, ownership looked at it, and management looked at it, and felt like Mark Jackson wasn't the guy. He was good for the buildup. Can he be the guy to get them over that hump? And now the Nuggets have to really look at this. And that life without Michael Malone would be weird because he's just been a fixture with Tim Conley, with Nikola Jokic, with Jamal Murray. But you have to look, take a long, hard look here. 2 minutes left in the game, 81-80. Clippers come down, score three. It's 83-81. And then I think they came down and got another quick two. You couldn't get the ball in to Joker. Why are you not calling a timeout? And at least, I mean, a head coach has to be able to create a play on the fly. How do you get the ball to Joker? How do you find an open three? And then again, you're 4-for-33 from the three-point line. You are not going to win any games doing that. So who will deliver? You know, you had Jeff Green with 12, Monte Morris with 11, and again, Gordon with 30. But other than that, that's it. And this isn't college. You need a lot more guys to contribute. If you're only going to have a couple of guys in double digits, three or four guys in double digits, you can't have the other guys at 2 and 4. You just can't. And again, Gordon was the Robin last night, but Joker was so neutralized that it didn't matter. Your Batman was, I was going to say he was getting the kryptonite treatment, but that's Superman, Angel. We got to study up on our superheroes here.
He was just in the Batcave.
He was
watching
Batcave
at home.
He didn't have his mask, so he couldn't go outside.
Alfred, come on.
Yeah, so he's like, I can't go out and fight crime. I don't have my mask. But, dude, there's a person about to be murdered. I don't have my mask.
What I'll say about Malone, it's that, you know, we'll throw the excuses. Yeah, he doesn't have Murray. He doesn't have Michael Porter Jr. right now. But you want to say, you have to get the excuses out of the way and say, what kind of coach are you when you lose two of your
exactly
top three guys?
The Clippers are 21-21. They're without, I mean, to be fair, at least the Nuggets have one of their stars. The Clippers don't have any of their stars. I mean, their two studs are out, and they're 500. The Nuggets have their stud, and you're not figuring out how to get the ball. And Malone's right. If you can't get the ball to Nikola Jokic, it's a big, big problem. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's talk some Colorado Buffaloes next with our guy, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, Mark Johnson. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 6 minutes until the top of the hour. Man, what is it, Wednesday? We're getting closer and closer to Friday. It's typically how these weeks work. But I got to tell you, Friday, we got a brand new sponsor on the show. You guys know this place. Michael Malone knows this place. That's Weldworks Brewing in downtown Greeley. A hop, skip, and a jump. Ah, Susan, Cheryl, of course you love that place. You guys have been there like 8 times today. They have Friday new beer releases every single Friday at noon. They're releasing a new beer every Friday at noon. You can go down there, hang out anytime you want, but I'm telling you, man, that place is great. When COVID first hit and Michael Malone, the pause hit and the NBA was stopping and Michael Malone was doing an interview right during that time, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do with the break. I'll probably head up to Greeley and go to Weldworks. I'm sure he did. And I don't know if Weldworks did like a Nuggets beer or something like that, but that's what I love about the brewery industry.
I love Weldworks.
Oh, it's such a great place.
I like the fruity, like a smoothie type of things. Yeah. But every once in a while, they got some good stuff.
The juicy bits, right? That's what made them famous. You know, Michael Malone has tasted that before. You know, that I mean, there's no question.
And the location's great, too.
It's a cool spot, man. It's really neat and unique. It's a part of Greeley. And, you know, Greeley is a very unique town. And as you've learned, you know, you've gotten to know more of this city throughout the last couple of
years.
There's
nothing like it up here.
It's very unique, man. And there's some really cool spots. Downtown is a great spot. Weldworks really is a big part of that, too. And we're happy to be teaming up with them. Weldworks, Friday, new beer releases. Every single Friday at noon, just 4 minutes until the top of the hour. You want to hear a stat that's going to make your stomach turn about the Denver Nuggets, Angel? The Nuggets have played 39 games. We know that. That's not the stat. They have blown a double-digit lead in 31 of them. That means Denver has had and lost a 10-plus point lead in 79% of their games this season. That's on pace to shatter the all-time record of 61% set by the 2012 Magic. Oof. Yeah, that's rough. That is a rough go, man. I mean, and again, 10-point leads aren't, like, that happens in the NBA. Those, it fluctuates, but the point is once they get up 10, they don't ever put – they can't seem to put the pedal to the metal and run away. And that, again, that goes to what happens when you're up by 10. Joker goes and grabs some bench during the rotation. I would bet you in that percentage of games, those comeback – when the teams do get on those comeback trails, that's when Joker's out. Not to say that they can't lose when Joker's in or can't struggle. Obviously, against the Clippers, they did. They can't get the damn ball to him, man. This is a problem. I am very concerned. I thought this stretch, I figured we'd be talking about three wins in a row today for the Nuggets, but the guard play, I mean, Facu Campazzo looked absolutely gassed in the last 5 minutes of the game. Malone didn't call timeout. What are we doing? Boy, that's going to be interesting to see how this team bounces back. I do have a pair of tickets to give away for the Nuggets-Blazers game tomorrow night. That's going to be a big game for Denver. We'll give that away in the second hour. Speaking of second hour, we got a big one. We got Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets to talk to. NFL playoffs, the Saturday games thus far. And Angel does not like the idea of Brian Flores. Why not? What's going on with that prospect? All that coming up next on the whole show powered by PDC Energy.